Welcome back to The Brittany Hughes Show, everybody. If you are here for the first time joining us, welcome. Thank you so much for spending your drive to work with us, or maybe it's your drive home from work, or I don't know, maybe you're still at work. I don't know. There's work in there somewhere, regardless, because after all, we all have to pay for our $7 carton eggs now, thanks Joe Biden, and we all have to pay for all the leftist crap that they love to shower all of our cash on. So if that's you, enjoy your work. Going to pay for everybody else's stuff, I suppose. Speaking of ridiculous leftist crap, by the way, so leftists are once again mischaracterizing a Florida bill as it pertains to parental rights in education, just outright straight up lying about it in just absolute shameless fashion, right? So this is a drum that they've been beating for months now. It goes all the way back to last year, if you recall, when Florida passed the Don't Say Gay bill, as it was dubbed by leftists. Of course, that's not at all what it was. It was the Parental Rights and Education Bill, and it shouldn't have even been necessary. In a land of common sense and basic decency, it wouldn't have been. But this state, and God bless them for it, finally had the cojones to stand up to this left-wing agenda and say, you know what, you're not going to use our publicly funded, taxpayer-funded public schools to indoctrinate other people's children in this radical, sexualized, left-wing agenda. You're not going to do it. And we're going to actually pass a law that says that you can't do it because apparently such a thing is now necessary. And thank God for Florida. And of course, they got attacked out the wazoo for it from everybody from, you know, crazy leftists that think that it's okay to sexualize other people's children, to companies that kowtow to the woke agenda because they think it's going to put money in their pocket. Turns out it doesn't. Hashtag Disney. So again, you can go back and listen to the whole podcast episode that I did back last year about the Parental Rights and Education Bill and how leftists were just completely misconstruing that whole entire thing because, again, they don't want you to know that they're indoctrinating your children. It's not that the average leftist on the street doesn't understand that this is exactly what's going on. At this point, we have the receipts. This has been way too publicized. This is what is actually happening. They just don't want parents to realize it. They want you to send your children off to these little public indoctrination camps and be none the wiser about what's being taught to them. Okay, so in that vein, they're now at it again, completely lying about another Florida law that kind of goes hand in hand with this other one that requires there to be some oversight into the printed materials, the books that are being taught to very young children. We're talking specifically about elementary students here. So, to kick this off, Judd Legume, he's an independent left-wing journalist with more than 500,000 followers over on Twitter. So this guy has a big audience. Actually tweeted this. Florida teachers are being told to remove all books from their classroom libraries or face felony prosecution. This new policy is based on the premise that teachers are using books to, quote, groom students or indoctrinate them with leftist ideologies. Now, that tweet, despite being blatantly and provably untrue, which I'm going to prove to you in just a minute, has garnered more than 35,000 likes. There are people in this world, in this country, that actually buy a tweet like that wholesale on its face without doing a bit of research into whether or not it's accurate and get all outraged about it. And this is exactly what the left wants, right? They want to paint this as radical right-wing extremists, which we all are, apparently, all, you know, 80-plus million of us in this country. Radical white right-wing extremists are looking to ban books from classrooms and keep teachers from teaching otherwise innocuous material to small children. That is the picture that they're painting. So here's the school policy that he's referring to. He's referencing here a policy that was sent out to faculty members by Manatee County School District in Florida, which read this. Per the new statutory changes to House Bill 1467, section blah, 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 all material in school and classroom libraries or included on a reading list must be free of pornography and material prohibited under section whatever, suited to student needs and their ability to comprehend the material presented, and appropriate for the grade level and age group for which the materials are used and made available. Seems pretty basic, right? Nothing in that that I'm reading says anything inflammatory at all. Nobody should ever take issue with this unless you just like pushing porn on small children. Those are the only people that should be outraged over something like this. All this statute says is you can't give porn to small children, and the materials that are presented to them in public school classrooms must be suited to their age and their ability to understand, and it also must be necessary to their education. Very, very basic stuff. The policy goes on to state, each elementary school must publish on its website in a searchable format prescribed by the department a list of all materials maintained in the school library media center or required as part of a school or grade level reading list. Any person violating any provision of this section commits a felony of the third degree. To protect librarians and media specialists, it must be clear that a book depicting nudity, sexual content, or sexual excitement does not meet the tenets of harmful to minors. Okay, so herein lies the rub, apparently, with some teachers. This is per a new Florida law that was passed last year and signed into law by Governor Ron DeSantis that mandates that all books in a public elementary school library or in their classrooms must be vetted and cataloged in an online accessible library so that parents can access what materials their kids are being taught and see it for themselves. Now, this law is not targeting classical literature. It's not targeting the vast majority of children's books. It's not targeting Dr. Seuss or the Berenstain Bears or whatever. The vast majority of what any person with common sense and basic decency would read to a child is completely fine under this statute. This statute is literally targeting sexually explicit materials that are not appropriate for elementary school students. We're talking about what? Children from the ages of 5 to 10 here? Don't give sexually explicit materials, don't give sexual content at all to these kids. This is basic stuff here. By the way, the law is also not threatening teachers unless those teachers are knowingly providing pornographic sexually explicit material to children. In which case, that teacher should be targeted. That teacher should be prosecuted because that's disgusting and you're a pervert and you are a groomer and it's horrific, absolutely horrific. But the vast majority of stuff in any elementary school classroom, I would hope, would be protected. Nobody's messing with that stuff, which begs the question, why is this even necessary? This is necessary because some faculty members and some school administrators have decided that certain sexually explicit material is appropriate for these kids to shove on other people's children in a taxpayer-funded public school setting. Now, they might not actually believe that these children are understanding this or even that it really is appropriate. But again, this is the agenda, right? This is the agenda. Get these kids while they're too young to understand, while they're too young to question, while they're believing everything that their teacher tells them, where they might not even have the vocabulary to go home and ask their parents about it. Start with these building blocks then, and they will accept your ideology from then on for the rest of their life. Get them while they are young. The fact that this policy has to spell out these guidelines for books that depict nudity, sexual conduct, or sexual excitement in an elementary school setting is exactly the problem. Now, leftists would have you believe this isn't actually happening. Nobody's giving this stuff to small children. What in the world are you talking about? This is a right-wing conspiracy theory. This is absolutely insane. Nobody is doing this. Yeah, they are. As a matter of fact, like I said, I've done podcast episodes detailing the exact books that small children are being given in this country, in elementary and in middle school. Here's one just from recently. So this one is called This Book is Gay. Now, first of all, let's just start right there. If you write a book entitled This Book is Gay, you are asking for a fight. That's not a headline that you just come up with. That's not Sally thinks she's a starfish. That's not an innocuous, innocent sounding headline. When you write a book explicitly stating this book is gay, you're trying to spark a controversy. So don't come crying to me when you get one. And here's what this book ended up doing. So this is a book that is found in middle schools, public middle schools across the country, including in Texas, where the Texas Department of Education took issue with it. It was on a list of books that the Department of Education wanted taken out of middle schools. Makes sense, right? I'm going to tell you what is in this book. Here is an excerpt. Now, I am so sorry. I'm going to go ahead and just preface this. I am so sorry to be reading this out loud. I don't want to be reading this stuff. This is incredibly uncomfortable. This is incredibly uncomfortable. I don't want you to have to listen to it, and I don't want to have to speak these words. But here's why I'm going to do it. Because if this is the kind of stuff that's being presented to our children, the adults in the room should have to hear it. You and I should have to deal with it. If it's too offensive to say, if it's too offensive for us to hear, imagine how it must sound to a middle schooler. So we need to deal with this. We need to actually talk about what's in these books. You need to know it explicitly. Here's an excerpt from The Book is Gay. Let's talk about dildos. I think a lot of people assume that where there is no penis, a desperate sexual void is created out of which something shaped must be ultimately slot in order to satisfy. I've only ever slept with two women who enjoyed using dildos. I hate wearing a strap-on. I've only ever done it once and never again. Available in middle schools. In middle schools. This book also discusses orgies, anal sex, lesbian hookups, kink, and sex apps in graphic, explicit detail. Now, I think that it's safe to say, and hopefully you do too, again, anybody with half a brain, anybody with some common decency here that is just not completely and totally out to lunch or isn't a sick pervert should understand that this material is not appropriate for public school classrooms at all. But especially for middle schoolers, we're talking about what, ages 11 through 13? This is not information that they need. This is not information that is crucial to their education. This is graphic, pornographic, sexually explicit garbage. Frankly, this isn't okay for anybody, but especially not for underage children in a public school setting where their parents probably don't even know that this is in the library. This is not appropriate, and that is objectively true. This is not a gray area here. We're not talking about where's the line and at what age is it appropriate to start talking to children about the biological realities of their bodies and what they can expect as they start changing. This is not talking about, you know, when is it okay and at what age is it appropriate to start telling them about sex and reproduction from a biological scientific standpoint, as at what age is it appropriate to start discussing anatomy? When can they understand that? That's not what this is. This is sexually explicit material that has no place in a classroom setting at all, ever. The only reason that this issue has been made subjective, the only reason we're even having this debate at all, is because leftists have lost their ever-loving minds and have decided that not only is it acceptable, it is laudable to indoctrinate children in a classroom with their explicit sexually deviant agenda. The left loves this stuff. The left loves this stuff. All you have to do is go to any city. It can even be a small one. It doesn't have to be New York City. It can be a tiny little city somewhere in the Midwest and look at a pride parade. They're happening all year long nowadays. It's not just in June. Go look at one for about 2 seconds and you will see proof of the left's absolute obsession with obscenity, with sexualization of a graphic and explicit nature. And they want to pass this obsession on to the next generation as early as possible so that it's never questioned by those children who will then grow up to be adults. That is their goal. So when Judd Legume comes out and tries to paint this as all of these parents, you know, the Florida and these crazy right-wing parents are trying to take books out of classrooms, nobody is trying to take Pride and Prejudice out of classrooms. Nobody. Nobody is trying to take the little engine that could out of classrooms. But the fact that there has to be a law explicitly saying, look, we can't trust teachers anymore or administrators to not put sexually explicit materials in elementary schools, so we're going to mandate that you catalog everything that's in your library and in your classroom so that parents can see what's going on, because we can no longer trust you. We can no longer trust you to do the basic, right, decent thing and not put porn in front of kids. We now have proof that that is what some teachers and some administrators are doing. And the only way to stop it is to mandate, punishable by law, that you have to be upfront and clear about what you are teaching these kids and that it cannot contain any sexually explicit, age-inappropriate material. How sad is it that that has to be done? How sad is it that we have to take time out of teachers' days to catalog their classroom libraries because left-wing radicals can't be trusted to not give porn to kids? I don't want to have to do this. I don't want to make teachers cough up all of their books and prove that they're not giving this to children. I don't want them to have to go through the process of getting all of this mess vetted, which probably does take time. But unfortunately, that's where we're at in this country because leftists decided that this was a hill to die on. But now it's being painted as though it's our fault for mandating that these books be proven to be appropriate and that parents actually know what's going on in their kids' classrooms. It's our fault. We're a bunch of neo-Nazi fascist theocratic book burners. No. You proved that you could not be trusted with other people's children. You started this. With books like this. This isn't on us. And parents deserve and have a right to know as taxpayers and as parents what is being taught to their children. Now, the amazing thing here is that oftentimes you will hear, well, leftists don't actually like this. This isn't the average liberal, the average Democrat voter isn't about this. You might want to try telling that to the Democrat Party because their chief head honcho and spokesperson, Joe Biden, apparently thinks that this book is gay is a perfectly appropriate book to be taught in middle schools, to have available to middle schoolers in their libraries, regardless of the graphic sexual nature of it. The Biden administration is now investigating not the schools in Texas for providing this material to middle schoolers. They're investigating the Department of Education in Texas for putting this book on a list of books that they want out of public schools. It's not the school's fault for actually including this in their libraries. It's the Texas Department of Education's fault for having a list of books like this one that they want gone. The Biden administration is investigating the people that don't want porn given to children. And leftists within the education system actually believe that providing this material is not only their right, it is their prerogative. Rachel Wall, a school board member in Lynn Mar, Iowa, for example, here's what she actually posted on Facebook. The purpose of a public education, of public education, is not to teach kids what parents want. It is to teach them what society needs them to know. The client is not the parent, but the community. So as long as the community, as long as the collective, which is a euphemism for leftists, right? Because they want to shut down conservative scent. They want to brand all right-wingers as fascist neo-Nazis that need to be shut up. They want to censor right-leaning voices and make sure that you can't say anything about any of this stuff on social media. You can't share it with one another. You can't push back against this. They want parents arrested at school board meetings and treated as terrorists. So the community is a euphemism here for leftists, right? As long as the leftists in the collective decide that this is appropriate, the parent no longer has rights. This is about what society wants. So as long as leftists in society think that it's okay to indoctrinate small children with pornographic, sexually explicit material, parents, you don't get a say. And you also don't deserve to know that it's happening. That is the official leftist line. But, of course, your rights do matter, including, by the way, your right to choose how to handle your own healthcare and how to pay for it. So I'm partnering with Share Healthcare to let people know about their Christian-based alternative to traditional health insurance. Share Healthcare is not health insurance. It is, however, a cost-sharing program between people who don't want to pay exorbitant premiums for coverage that they might not need, or that they don't want to subsidize medical costs that do not align with their faith-based values. So the average national cost for one person for a health insurance premium is over $450 a month. But with healthcare programs that start as low as $149 a month, Share Healthcare provides Americans with medical, financial, and religious freedom by offering share cost plans that align with their Christian values. So if you think that a cost sharing plan might be right for you, check out sharehealthcare.com. Enter the referral code MRCTV23, that's sharehealthcare.com, MRCTV23, and see if you can find a plan that is right for you and your family. While you are on your computer, make sure you head over to mrc.org/donate to find out more information about how you can partner with the Media Research Center to support content like The Brittany Hughes Show. So many people do not realize that the Media Research Center is an entirely nonprofit organization. Many conservative news outlets are subscription-based. They have a paywall. When you go to read an article, something pops up that says, you know, you've got to pay us a monthly premium to read our content, and that's perfectly fine for them. The Media Research Center does not. We provide all of our content, including this show, to you for free. However, as a 501c3 organization, that means that we depend entirely upon donor support. So if that is you, if you like our content and you want to keep it coming and you have not yet partnered with us, please, please, please consider going to mrc.org/donate and finding out more information. We rely primarily on low-level donors who simply want to give a little bit every month to support content that they like, to make sure that we stay on air and able to provide this. So please, again, mrc.org/donate to find out more information. If you already support the Media Research Center financially, thank you so, so much. We literally could not do what we do without you. Of course, paying for everything could get a lot easier for some Californians, believe it or not, but only if you fit into a very, very, very select group of oppressed people. This is leftists in California's favorite group of people. I had to read this several times before I bought that it was not The Onion. This sounds so absolutely ridiculous. So believe it or not, and it's California, so you're probably going to be apt to believe it, a government-created board of total idiots over in Nancy Pelosi's hometown of San Francisco, where little children are having to play hopscotch over dirty syringes just to get to school, they have reportedly put together a plan to pay every eligible Black resident a one-time payout of $5 million to a list that includes convicted drug criminals. Only in San Francisco. They can't clean up the gobs of human excrement that are like flowing down the sidewalks, but they can shuck out $5 million to drug criminals. You heard that correctly, by the way. $5 million per person.
That's a lot of money.
To include drug criminals. So here are the details of this absolutely wackadoodle story that is so mind-blowingly bizarre. The San Francisco African American Reparations Advisory Committee, which is a thing, it was put together back in 2020 by the city's Human Rights Council, which is also apparently a thing. That's the thing about, you know, these like government monoliths, these gigantic bloated government systems. They've got like the legislature, and then they've got all of these committees that then have these subcommittees that then have these councils that then have these advisory boards. And it's basically just a way to grow government power, but also to pay a whole bunch of unelected bureaucrats crap loads of taxpayer cash and then scream that they don't have enough to pay for things like cleaning up homeless camps and stuff like that. So this advisory committee, the San Francisco African American Reparations Advisory Committee, just sent the city council a 60-page proposal explaining why they think that certain Black people should get this Hollywood-level payout of $5 million per person, if I have not reiterated that enough, $5 million per person. So CNN notes there's this whole big list of criteria that you kind of sort of have to meet in order to be eligible. You have to meet at least two out of like eight different categories. Here's what some of those are. To be eligible for reparations, San Francisco residents must be 18 years or older, have been identifying as Black or African American on public documents for at least 10 years. So I suppose that means you can kind of Rachel Dolezal this thing as long as you've been identifying as Black or African American. Just make sure you've been doing it for at least a decade. And meet two of eight additional criteria, including having been born or migrating to the city between 1940 and 1996, as well as showing proof of at least 13 years of residency. You have to have been incarcerated by the failed war on drugs or be the direct descendant of someone who was. So, drug criminals and their kids. Being a descendant of someone who was enslaved through U.S. chattel slavery before 1865. Having been displaced between 1954 and 1973 or being a descendant of someone who did. Being part of a marginalized group who experienced lending discrimination in the city between 1937 and 1968. I mean, seriously, this is absolutely ridiculous. So now, and that's where this reparations thing, you lose me even more than normal. So reparations has been floated as an idea to try to make up for the supposedly generational effects of slavery, right? That we're somehow going to right the wrongs of slavery and fix things that were done to people who have long since died by paying buckets of taxpayer cash taken from people who didn't do anything wrong and given to people who were never actually slaves. And that's somehow going to absolve slave owners who died years and years ago. That's somehow gonna make all of this right, okay? But in San Francisco, apparently it's not enough to have just been the descendant of a slave. You also have to have, like, sold crack in 1991. Apparently that's now like a subcategory of people that deserve reparations. If you were targeted by the war on drugs, if you were a drug dealer back in the 80s and you got locked up for a while, well, now's your lucky day. You may qualify for a jackpot lottery payment of $5 million. This is lunacy. So this council, this advisory committee goes on to claim that each of these $5 million checks would compensate the affected population for decades of harms that they have experienced and will redress the economic and opportunity losses that Black San Franciscos have endured collectively as the result of both intentional decisions and unintended harms perpetrated by city policy. Well, in that case, you should be giving it to every single Black San Franciscan if you think that they have endured this collectively. But of course, that would be absolutely ridiculous because we'd be talking about astronomical amounts of money, even in addition to the astronomical amounts of money we're already talking about. So, if that weren't bad enough, that these people actually think that shucking out $5 million to select Black folks is a absolutely fantastic idea, the committee also demanded that the city offer a formal apology to all of these people and proposed that for the next 250 years, San Francisco uses taxpayer money to supplement the incomes of low-income Black households to raise them to the city's median income, which, by the way, in 2022 was $97,000. So if you make 30 grand a year, the city should now just give you $67,000 to make up the difference. And oh, by the way, that plan, which is not tied to $97,000, it's tied to whatever the median income happens to be at the time, that plan should continue for the next 250 years. And that's on top of the $5 million that we should give to certain people just carte blanche in a check. This must be some serious, serious common core math here. I'd like a formal apology, too, from anybody stupid enough to think that this makes a lick of sense, because your idiocy is the reason why we can't have nice things. This is insane. And it makes sense, though, because this is the same state where the statewide government is proposing to pay each Black resident like over $200,000 in reparations. That's, by the way, completely separate from San Francisco and their $5 million idea. That would cost the entire state to give everybody $200,000+. A recent study found it would cost the state about $112 billion to do that. Guess what the entire state's budget for last year was? $14 billion. So it would literally take, even if nothing changed over the next 10 years, even if everything stayed exactly the same financially, it would take every single dime that the state of California brought in It would take every single dime they had for the next 10 years just to pay the state's reparations plan. Now, by the way, for anybody that thinks that this is an actual thing that might happen, it's important to note that this advisory committee that's recommending this, they can't actually implement reparations, right? This is not an actual policy. This is a proposal that's been sent to the city council. This is not something that is actually in the works right now. And I have to believe, call me crazy, maybe I'm an eternal optimist or whatever, but I have to believe that even the San Francisco City Council understands that $5 million per person is probably going to be a little bit of a stretch for their wallet. So the likelihood of this actually happening might be slim, but the fact that this is even being talked about, that this is a proposal that was put down into words and sent to a legitimate city council, is insane. And by the way, what's also insane is the fact that the African American Reparations Advisory Committee is funded with taxpayer dollars. San Franciscans are coughing up taxpayer cash to pay idiots to come up with crap like this. How would you like that for a job? To just sit around and dream up nonsense all day and get paid for it? That's crazy. This is nuts even for California. And by the way, I would just like to point out that this is the same exact side of the aisle that wants to run the entire public education system, right? As we were talking about earlier in the show, the same exact side of the aisle that wants to run our entire public education system are the same ones that think crap like this makes sense. The same people who think that it's okay that some giant bearded dude slaps a girl's name on himself and walks into the women's restroom and we're all just supposed to kowtow to that. The same exact people who think that it makes any mathematical sense or economic sense whatsoever to give drug criminals $5 million in reparations or to supplement the incomes of certain black people with the taxpayer cash from other people who've never done anything wrong. The same people who get mad when somebody says that graphically sexual content should not be in a middle school or an elementary school classroom, the same exact people who think all of this are the same exact people who think that parents should butt out of the education system and have no right to know what their children are being taught in the classroom, and we're not allowed to question what our children are being taught in school because that's somehow not our business and we don't have a right to know. Same side of the aisle. Same side of the aisle that can't understand basic math and basic biology wants to run the entire public education system and tells us to butt out because we don't deserve to know what's happening. This is like putting Helen Keller in charge of a fighter jet squadron. This is like when the federal government demands that we let them take over the entire healthcare system when they can't even run the VA. This is like when they want to take over the whole entire energy grid, but California can't even keep the dadgum lights on. Are you kidding me? These people shouldn't be allowed to own houseplants, much less be in charge of an entire education system that is meant to train generations of children who will one day take over this country. These are morons. These are people who are getting paid to be morons. This is absolutely insane. And the problem is, a lot of people buy it. A lot of people buy it. Unfortunately, there are a lot of parents in this country that are still, if not oblivious to what is happening in their child's education, they at least are not nearly as involved as they should be. There are still thousands of people who read claims like this on Twitter and buy it, who believe the left's lies, who actually believe that pushing back against ridiculous economic plans like this, or pushing back against porn being put in children's schools are somehow the fascists that hate all gay people or something. There are actually people that buy that. If that's you, I'm not sure that there's a whole lot of help for you at this point. But if you have a brain at all, you should be abjectly terrified of what is happening, at least enough to start getting involved. If no other place, at least in your locality, you might not be able to right every single wrong in every single school district, but get involved in yours. Because if these people are allowed to take over the whole entire thing, I'm sorry, but this country is even more sunk than I think we already are. This is nuts. We cover that kind of stuff all the time here at the Brittany Hughes Show. So again, if this is your first time tuning in, thank you for being here. Make sure you tune in next Thursday as well. Head over to Apple Podcasts and hit the subscribe button on the Brittany Hughes Show. That way you won't ever miss an episode. We don't have to make sure that any website is sending you an alert or anything, because of course we know places like YouTube aren't going to do that. If you do subscribe to us on Facebook, thank you, but it's unlikely that you're going to get have us pop up in your newsfeed anytime soon. So Apple Podcasts, make sure that you subscribe to the show so that you don't miss an episode while you're over there. Also subscribe to the Newsbusters podcast. That's with my buddy over at Newsbusters, Tim Graham. That's on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Again, if you feel like a Share Healthcare plan might be right for you in lieu of traditional health insurance, head over to sharehealthcare.com. The referral code is MRCTV23. You can find out more information. And as always, mrc.org/donate. That's where you can support our show and keep it coming. Thank you so much for tuning in. I will see you back here next Thursday. Have a blessed weekend.